All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake here.
How's it going today, Jake?
It is well.
It is well. I'm glad to hear that. So,
yeah.
Well, we are glad that you have joined us, and we appreciate you tuning in. And we, as always, we'd ask you to subscribe if you haven't done that, or follow us on some channel that we have. And if you want more content, you can easily Google us. And you will find out all kinds of things that that we've done. We've done over 100 videos, podcasts, and on different topics. And we'd encourage you to check that out. But today we're going to talk about repentance.
Repentance. Yeah, we're out on the interwebs. If you do a look, a looky loo, and then you can comment on some of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what you think.
Yep.
About what we think.
Yep, and we for sure don't claim to be experts on any of it, but we just want to help point you in the right direction.
Exactly.
And we encourage you to go to the source, read your Bible, and don't take any person's word for it.
Exactly.
Find out on your own. So, repentance. Got a picture of banana here.
Yes, because when I think repentance. I can't go to the grocery store and pick out a bunch of bananas without thinking repentance.
That's right. It just seems to go together.
Yeah.
And so here we are. All right. So repentance, when you look at the definition, it is talking about change, repent. So you've got basically two entries here: to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendments of one's life, to feel regret or contrition, to change one's mind. So I thought it was interesting that in the Webster Dictionary, I probably should have cited the source there, it mentioned right there about sin.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So that is the common tradition. What do you think most church things that you heard, what did they mostly say what repentance meant?
My mind initially goes to like the fire and brimstone guy that would say, turn from your evil ways,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Turn or burn.
Yeah.
But the guy standing out with the megaphone.
Yeah.
Those people are just like walking down the street.
Right.
You're going to hell. Turn or burn. Which exactly. Always seems to work really well.
That draws them
people.
In.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just flock to them.
I see a lot of people stopping. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Maybe I should think about that.
Yeah, I should change my ways.
Now that you've screamed it at me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think for the most part, we get that it's, turn away from sin and towards Yahweh. But kind of like in our apologetic series, the definition of words means things. And when someone says turn away from your ways to Yah's ways, it can mean different things, because if you're not aligned on what your ways are or what sin is and what his ways are, then you're just turning around in all kinds of different directions. So those definitions of what sin is and what his will is need to align.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the confusion comes in. That's where the disconnect is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think there's a lot of people that have preached and taught that, you're converted just because you accept Jesus in your heart and done. That's all you got to do. You're saved.
And just accept that free gift, man.
Mm-hmm, just that free gift. Lay your hand on a TV and send me $20. And it could be yours too.
Lay your hand on a TV. They were always saying that.
Maybe they should have. But definitely, I don't think it works quite the way that that many people have taught it. That salvation and true repentance means you're not doing what you used to do before. But you can argue for the path we went on, it was baby steps. We didn't get there at once.
Right, and we'll see a pretty good example of that later on, mm-hmm. in the presentation.
That's right. So the first mention that we see is here in Genesis 6, 6 through 7. Will you read that?
And it repented the Lord, Yahweh, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
So it repenteth him.
It repenteth him. So the first time we see this talk of repentance, it's not man repenting, it's Yahweh repenting, right?
Right, which is interesting.
And now, when I would read this, I would say, so he, basically I would think of this as, he regretted having made man. I would kind of replace repented for, regretted for repented. And it was like, it sounds like he didn't see this coming. And so now he's upset about the way man has gone off the reservation and not followed his will. And now he's like, I'm sorry I even made him, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but there is another explanation that doesn't involve him being ignorant of the fact that man was going to do this, right?
Right.
So why don't you explain that?
Well, I think you have to look at this in full context, for instance. I'll go back to this. So in full context of it, he does say, you know, repentance can mean he feels sorry that he's done this. You know, that is, you know, when you go look up repent and Strong's, that's, you know, it kind of does go hand in hand. But the full context is he does a 180 because he does the opposite of creation. He destroys all of creation. And so he goes a 180 and the only life he preserves, and he basically recreates again with Noah, but he didn't start from scratch because he didn't have to. But if Noah wasn't around, I believe he would have started from scratch if there was no righteous person. But he knew he didn't have to, and he just, you know, he waited till the time was right. And I guess he, for whatever reason, he got it down to those 8 people on the ark, and that's when he decided, let's start over. And But he does do a 180 and destroys it. So when you look at it in that context, it is a 180.
Yeah. So it's not about him being surprised by the fact that man is not following him and, you know, getting sick and tired of it and just mm-hmm. being done with it and changing his mind about what he wants to do and starting over. It's he's got to fix what man has messed up,
mm-hmm.
and it grieves him mm-hmm. that he has to do that.
Yeah, and it's another example of grace because he could have abandoned the whole thing, but he gives us grace, and it's like I've got a plan, and I'm gonna make this work.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think that's a good explanation of how it's not just him changing his mind, that he had, this was the plan all along.
Yeah, he's not learning on the fly. Mm. It's not, didn't jump up out of nowhere.
I think basically he left it up to man and he hoped, he had great hope. But you know, it's like he planned for the worst, but hoped for the best.
Right.
I think that's a good explanation of it. So,
yeah.
And because, you know, he just left it up, you know, unfortunately, we did the worst, really, multiple times. So the biblical definition of repentance in Acts 26:2, you have a pretty good definition if you'll read that.
First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds.
Well, there's a lot we can say about here. You know, we'll start with the Gentile concept. You know, it's interesting, you know, that word Gentile, if you haven't ever studied that, you need to study that a little bit because it does not mean maybe what you thought it meant and what I thought it meant. And it's not really the topic of today. But But it is important when you see that to understand what it's saying. And, you know, if you are a Gentile and you have never been a true Gentile, the Goyim that are completely lost and completely worldly, how could they turn back? So to me, this implies that these are people that knew Yah's ways at one point.
Yeah, and we'll get into this idea of reconnecting, and it's, you know, like you're saying, it's not that these guys, these Gentiles, didn't already have a relationship with him. You know, they're headed the wrong way and they need to turn back.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just have to get out of the mindset, since we're on the kind of touching the topic for just a minute, about this isn't a Jew versus Gentile thing. And if you think that way about this, then you have it wrong. It's not about lineages.
Right.
This message is for all humans on the earth. And he's called all humans. So he hasn't just called a very specific narrow tribe of people who are all related. That's how you get ancestral kings, because they bought into that line that was about ancestry, and this is not. This is about your actions. And so I think that's, these scriptures make it real clear. It's about what you do. It isn't about who your parents were and your blood and all that. But anyway, that's a whole nother rabbit trail.
Right. So when people say you should repent, right? He preached that they should repent. Well, how could they, how does one demonstrate that they've repented?
Yeah, it's by your, yeah, that's right there.
Your deeds.
Yeah, by right? Your actions, what you do. And so, and I think that's a good example. When we work with people, when we know people and they say they're a Christian, believer, whatever you want to call yourself, but if they don't have fruit in their life and their mouth and their actions and their thoughts and the jokes and everything else says something different, you know, that to me is a good definition that they probably haven't truly repented.
Yeah. And even, you know, I've heard, and I've probably been on this wagon also, of instead of, you know, saying, I'm a Christian or something, you might say, I'm repentant. Mm. You know, I've heard people say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or before I was repentant or something like that. And they'll kind of describe, right, give their testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, the repentance is demonstrated by the deeds.
Mm-hmm. And then we found this, you know, we were going to use this, and it's hard to say it better than these guys. This is Rock Island Books. And we'll just hear him.
Here's a message from C.J. Lovick, author of the widely popular Living Word in 3D series. Watch as he unfolds a mystery hidden just under the surface.
In Genesis 6:6, we read the following. And it repented the Lord that he had made
man. I meant to start this 1 minute in.
Oh, there you go.
In the conventional Hebrew, there are actually two words that are translated repent, repentance, or regret. We're going to explore the picture meaning of both words, starting with the Hebrew word for repent that is spelled shin bet. Shin is pictured as teeth, and it means to consume, to press, and to destroy. Bet, the second letter in the Hebrew word translated repent, is the picture of a house or a tent. The two pictures of shin and bet are connected in a way you may find surprising. Instead of turn or burn, as it's understood in the English translation, the Hebrew word shin bet has another idea. Shin bet is a destroying or burning of the house. In other words, it's burning the house down. It could literally be translated, burn or destroy the place you're living in and then turn around and leave. The concept is eloquently simple. If you burn the house down, then you cannot return to live there. Unless, of course, you wish to spend your life living among the charred ashes of death and destruction. Sadly, some actually do end up returning to live in a pile of ashes. To repent based on the ideal picture meaning of Shin Bet is to leave the place you were living, never to return. The place you were living needs to be crushed, burned down, demolished, and destroyed so
and
that there is
line,
never
to leave the
any
place you were living and never return. So,
yeah,
here's a message.
Oops, didn't mean to start that over again. So, but, and he breaks it down and it makes a lot of sense on what he says. And so, so then it made us think of this scripture, Galatians 2, 18 through 21.
Right. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto Elohim. I am crucified with Messiah. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Elohim, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of Elohim, for if righteousness come by the law, then Messiah is dead in vain. So I think this is like the perfect illustration of what he was explaining there with burn the house down. So now that I've burnt my house down, am I going to build it up again in the same manner that it was before? Or is that gone to me and I've walked away from it? And this idea of not me that lives, but Messiah lives in me, right? And Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Same things he did then, he'll do again and will continue to do. So why would I think that, you know, I'm able to live differently than him now because mm-hmm. of his resurrection? He's the same yesterday, mm-hmm. today, and forever. He's going to, you know, one of my friends, he would say, he wants to live his life again in your body. You know, you kind of say it like that. Mm-hmm. And I get the idea, and mm-hmm. it's kind of just a funny way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says, put a sign on over that says under new ownership, because mm-hmm. now you're mm-hmm. this new creation, right?
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. And it makes me think, too, of the connected concept when Yeshua talks about, you know, if you clear your house, he talks about being the guy that is prepared for a robber. You know, if you that's a different passage, but the concept of clearing your house so that the strong man doesn't come back in. And in essence, you have to clear it, destroy it, and start over and make it a place where the enemy can't come back in and set up camp. And you can't make it familiar or hospitable to the enemy. And if you, you know, and then many people do that, they kind of do it half-hearted. And then they get into trouble later because they didn't really have that concept of burning their house down and starting over. And same thing is true with addictions and a lot of things that people get in trouble with. If you don't if you're not willing to just, you know, burn it all down and start
walk
over,
walk away from it,
you're
going
to go back to it most likely.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that same concept is in unleavened bread and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, unleavened bread and when Yeshua clears the temple.
Right.
It's this concept of being very active. This is not a passive. It's not the bow your head, close your eyes, raise your hand, and you've been saved because you raised your hand and said, Jesus is in my heart now. And this is more than that. Although you have to believe.
You have to start
that
there.
Is where, yeah, that has to happen. But that does not end. And a lot of people, I think, in Western culture have believed, man, I got saved when I was 7. I'm good. I don't have to worry about this. I'm
right.
saved. I can do whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite work that way. And then the word teshuvah or teshuvah, how do people say it, Jake?
I say teshuvah.
Teshuvah, but yeah. It seems like I've heard it different ways, but Strong's H7725, to return, to turn back. So qual, to turn back, to return, come or go back, to return.
Unto,
back,
to back. Return unto.
Unto. And blueletterbible.org is yep. where you can find that, which it's fits very well with a U-turn. So reconnecting with Yah's ways, and there's a in the Hebrew there's a tav here, and a tav is a connector piece, so that's kind of interesting. But reconnecting to his ways, what does this mean?
be willing to burn up all of your old ways for Yah's ways. So I like this idea of the reconnect to Yah's ways, because when you look at the story arc of scripture, it starts with Yahweh connected with his people, and then that gets severed. This is kind of, you know, it's cyclical. It happens over and over again. That connection's severed, and then he has to reconnect with them, and it's up to us. It's not him who's walked away. It's us. So we have to reconnect to Yahweh by turning back to his ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that idea of reconnecting, because it has that implication that we at one time were connected with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes to Torah, we have, you know, life here. Torah is the way, the truth, the life. Messiah is the way, the truth, the life. And talk about these scriptures here, Jake.
Yeah, so in the vein of reconnecting, right, you have to have a way to do that, and the way is Torah. And Messiah comes, he says, you know, he was the Word made flesh. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. But we just threw in the scriptures here that show that Torah is in Psalms 119, 1 through probably about 8, that first section there, the Aleph section, talks about Torah being the way. Psalms 119, 142 talks about Torah being the truth. And Proverbs 13, 14 talks about Torah being life. And then we just threw in the verse where Yeshua says, you know, he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, he put it all together. So right. It wasn't anything new. It was there all along.
Right.
Just, he put those concepts together. And then we're going to start looking at some scriptures that are man's ways and Yah's ways. Clearly different, opposite directions. So Psalm 119, 1 through 8.
Right. So this is kind of where, what we just talked about, just the righteous walk in his ways, right? And then it goes into more detail through those verses. But
in Colossians 3:5,
therefore, put to death whatever is worldly in you, your sexual sin, perversion, passion, lust, and greed. That's similar to the Galatians thing. Mm-hmm. Put to death the...
And a very active thing. This is not a passive thing. You know, this is...
Yeah,
aggressive, putting to death. I mean, that's very to the point, very blunt, and that's what you have to do. And if you're not willing to put it to death, then you're probably not willing to get away from it.
Yeah, I think some versions say put to death the old man.
Mm-hmm. So what is the opposite of repentance? Well, in Jeremiah 17:5.
Thus says Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from Yahweh.
Do you know what this part right here, I think, means? His arm?
What do you think it means, Matt?
His salvation, so, which is Yeshua. So he's basically saying if you make your flesh your salvation, or your flesh your Yeshua, this isn't going to work. And then look at our world today. We trust man, you know, not you and me and probably... you know, our audience here, but the world at large, they definitely put their trust in man over Yahweh. In fact, they laugh at these ways and go, how could you not believe in science and medicine and all these things, because they're here to help us. And that's an example to me of not that that's all bad, but sometimes, especially in today's culture,
you make it your savior.
Yeah, we've made them gods, little g gods.
Yeah,
and put man in his ways above everything else.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is an example of doing the opposite of repenting. You're heading deeper into man's ways territory.
Yeah, and I don't want to be on the cursed side of anything.
Right.
And then Jeremiah 15:6, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou hast gone backward. Therefore, I will stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting.
I'm tired of repenting. I'm just going to smote you. Man, we sure did rile up his ire.
Yes, yes, definitely not a something you want to be said to you. And Jake, Ezekiel 14:6.
Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus says Yahweh Elohim, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations.
And here, I think this is a good example of it's an about face. It's going a different, completely opposite way.
Yeah.
From facing and bowing down to the idol to now turning your way back to Yah.
Right. And that was the whole problem with the house of Israel. If you don't know about the house of Israel, house of Judah, super important concept. You need to know what that's talking about. It opens up a lot of things. But the, I think important to mention here is, so Ezekiel's message to people is repent and believe in the salvation of Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the message from the beginning to the end is that's, some might call that the gospel.
Yes, yes, it is the gospel message.
So, so that is what the prophets were preaching, repent and trust in Yahweh's salvation. Mm.
And if you've not researched it, there we've done a lot of things on it, and we talk about it all the time, but the concept of idolatry and adultery are tied together. And so you need to go look at that if you've never looked at it. All right, Jeremiah 18:8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So, you know, showing that if we repent, he's going to hold back his wrath from us, which I like.
Yeah, I like that too.
I don't want that.
Yeah, so how can, yeah, you look at that and you go, well, I'd like to repent. I'd like him to repent of the evil that he thought to do to me. Mm-hmm. How can I make that happen? Mm-hmm. How can I?
Well, just like in this these last few Torah portions, like when we read in Korah, that you know, as soon as this goes down, you know, you just kind of see on your peripheral vision, you see Moses just hit the ground immediately. He's like, "Oh my God!" He knows.
Yeah.
He knows this is fixing to be bad.
Right.
And he wants no part of it. He's like, I am so sorry, but I am not a part of this. And please do not let your wrath fall on me.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
That's all part of the fear of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Romans 6:6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yah forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
So, Jake, what is sin?
I think 1 John 3:4 says it is transgression of the law, the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we continue to transgress the Torah since we're dead to transgressing the Torah? We're supposed to be... Our life was in a transgressing Torah direction, and now we're supposed to be dead to that. I'm not transgressing Torah anymore. That's not me, right? And that's what he's saying.
It's the same.
Turn away from that.
That's right. It's the same concept of burning the house down.
Burn the house down,
you
know, right?
You got to kill it, start over. And 2 Peter 2:2:2 But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turneth to its own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Yeah, this is, so we kind of put this in the man's ways category. Mm-hmm. If you're returning like a dog to his vomit, or like a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, then you're going back to that thing that made you dirty in the first place. You're going back to that thing that caused Yahweh's wrath in the first place. If it made you throw up, why are you eating it again? You know, that kind of situation. So yeah, this gross. Is a not repenting situation.
Yeah.
And this is what was happening in 2 Peter. He's you know, it happened to them according to the proverb. You know, they were going back to the thing that they had supposedly turned from.
Yeah. Yeah. One, we see it over and over in the text.
Right.
Constant from beginning to end. Unfortunately, it's kind of what we're known to do. Numbers 14:4, and they said unto one another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. We don't need no stinking Moses.
Yeah, forget that
Moses. So definitely man's ways.
That's here. Man's ways, right. And then Numbers 14:33, and your children, so this is how Yahweh responds to that. Mm-hmm. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Yeah. He has a way with words. Mm-hmm. He just lays it out there for them. Mm-hmm. So
they had to die to themselves slowly and painfully for 40 years.
So there's consequences of going your way. He lets you go your way. You're allowed to go your way. But there's consequences to that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And this is the Korah part that you were talking about. This is they've. So when I think of repentance and tying it, showing the tie between Old Testament, New Testament, because somehow that one page in your Bible that is not inspired, the page that says New Testament. So somehow we think there's a disconnect there. But so this, to me, ties those together in a pretty clean way. So they had left Egypt, and they're headed towards the Promised Land, right? Which is where Yahweh is, right? That's where Yahweh's leading them, is to the Promised Land. So, and what's always in front of them as they're going toward the Promised Land?
The cloud and the
pillar, right? And so they're facing one direction. They can see Yahweh as they're going away from Egypt. They can't see Egypt. It's behind them. So once they've said, let us go back, they've repented of repenting at this point. They've quit repenting and they're like, we want to go back to Egypt. And this is when he gives them the all right, you're done. Now, before this, they had talked about it and that spooled up his wrath. But here they're active in trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's when, okay, you're done. I'm not dealing with it anymore. You're not going into the Promised Land. So repentance is, they were the active, it's just neat to, you can see them trace the path from Egypt to the Promised Land.
And there were other steps in here too, the spies
that
went out, and the two came back with a positive report, and the other 10 came back with a negative report, and that's a whole different thing. But all of these things did build up together to get to where they are there, where they have to wander, and which was a terrible place, terrible. You talk about disappointment, you go up, you've won the lottery, and they've called your numbers, and you go up there and you can't find your ticket anymore. You know, it's that kind of moment. And when you, or you bought your cryptocurrency and you bought it when Bitcoin was 3 cents, and you're trying to sell it when it's, you know, 43 to 46,000 or whatever it was, and you can't find your crypto key.
Yeah.
And you can't remember your password or whatever. And it's that kind of just terrible, awful moment that would destroy you and haunt you for the rest of your life. And it did these people, you know, every day they took a step out in the desert. They're like, oh my gosh, I could have had my little place.
I could have had those giant bunches of grapes right now.
And their own property, and they're just wandering around. And then Matthew 4:17, Yahushua, first command from the time Yahushua began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yep. So his first command is to repent.
And just like you said, all the prophets before, which were very unpopular.
Yeah.
And then Luke 24:46-47.
And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Yeah, this is the thing that is to be preached, repentance and remission of sins.
In Matthew 27:3-4, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I've betrayed the innocent blood.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched our teaching on is Judas saved, this is one of the things that kind of, I think, gets left out of that story, that he repented.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be careful when we're saying, when we're making the declaration of saved or not saved. Well, what's required, you know, repentance and belief in Messiah is the requirements for salvation. And so you be the judge.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And is this something interesting to research? Because definitely man and his influence, maybe how we think about some of these things.
Yeah.
Matthew 27:44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth.
So this is the thieves on the cross, right? So all the crowd were heckling Yeshua. And this is kind of saying that the thieves were doing that also. Right, that cast the same in his teeth was, it's, you know, they're saying the same things to him. Yet, so they were following man's ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then what happens?
Luke 23:39-43, the thief on the cross repents and is rewarded.
Right. So I had someone tell me once that they would liken the thief on the cross as an example to why we don't need to keep Torah. And it's that same idea of, well, are you keeping Torah for salvation, right? It always goes to that, even though it's, but this idea of the thief on the cross repenting and being rewarded and not having a chance to do, he didn't get a chance to do Torah. How is he saved if in fact Torah is something that we need to do. And well, what is repentance, right? He is speaking against Yeshua at first, and then he changes what he's doing and turns back around in favor of Messiah. That's repentance.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we have a little bit more time than the thief on the cross did.
Yeah.
So we have to continue down the repentant path.
Mm-hmm.
We have more sins that need adjusted in our lives as we go forward.
Well, and there's other scriptures that line up with that, saying that many are going, there'll be some that are saved by the skin of their teeth at the last second.
Right.
And like the parable of the guys that worked out in the field all day for 25 cents. And then there are guys hired at the very end of the day who also got 25 cents.
Right.
And the people that worked all day are like, wait a minute, I worked all day. This guy shows up at the last second and you pay him the same. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He barely broke a sweat.
Yeah.
So,
and the guy that was saying that was rebuked by the master, right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't be the guy saying that.
Yeah, I know. But boy, you, I get that.
Yeah.
I would be really hard not to complain about that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of scripture about complaining.
Yeah.
So, and definitely we're not supposed to, although I'm not saying I don't. Jeremiah 8:5-6. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes into the battle.
That's right.
So, but definitely that kind of is a good, kind of puts those thoughts together. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, so they were backsliding, of course. and they refused. You don't want to be refusing to return.
It's a hard heart, for sure.
Yeah, the return is the repent. And they didn't listen. They're not all right. No one's repenting of their wickedness.
They just did what they wanted to do.
This is a great question. Okay. What have I done? If you're not looking at yourself saying, what have I done to draw the ire of Yahweh, you don't know what you're repenting of.
Right. If you go, I don't really have anything to be bad for, feel sad for. I've done a lot of good things here.
Didn't Trump say that once?
Maybe.
Have you ever repented? No, I just try to do better from there.
Well, I didn't know.
It's like, oh, geez. Mm. That was, but anyway, that was when he was running the first time. But, so yeah, the point being, if you don't know what you have done, how are you going to turn from it?
Yeah.
You have to kind of analyze yourself,
mm-hmm.
see what you're doing wrong. And how do you know if it's wrong? By that.
You got to have a standard.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's not just the voice inside telling you.
Sometimes
you
have just heartburn.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's your flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to go by the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So repentance, doing a full 180. And so the point of what we want to do is just to have you go look at it. And if you hadn't thought about those things, for sure do, and for sure understand the concept that you're going to know people by their fruit. And so when there are people in your life, if they've got the fruit of repentance, then you know where they are. But if they don't have the fruit of repentance, then I would be leery of things that they say and following anything they said.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Not that any of us are perfect. We all have things we got to work on. But there are some people that just seem to not be going in any kind of different direction. And maybe just honor him with their lips, and their actions don't back it up.
Right. So have fruit or bananas meet for repentance.
There's the connection, right?
Exactly.
Good job. I'm glad you found it.
Yeah.
So that was my thought all along.
Exactly. I was wondering whether or not, as I was sitting here, I just now put that together, the banana, fruit, mm-hmm. fruit for meat for repentance. And I was like, should we admit to everybody that we just like the color of yellow?
Nah.
And too late. The bananas had nothing to do with it this entire time.
It did have a nice little moving graphic, that Giphy, if you will. Giphy or Jiffy?
Jiffy's the peanut butter, I think.
I think so, too. Well, anyway, we appreciate you stopping by and listening, and we hope that this is useful to you, and we ask that you share it with someone and continue to seek him out. And we know that if you seek, you shall find. And thank you for your time today. And this is Matt and Jake saying bye.
Signing out.